Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have an uber special guest with me, and I think you'll become as obsessed as I am. We've officially entered into a new season that puts Halloween behind us, insert tears here, and eating our body weight in, well, anything is now perfectly respectable. Tonight we're serving up wide-eyed stares with a big side of feverish note-taking because class is in session. What in the tardy bell are we talking about? Why, energetic protection during an emergency, of course. But before we do, what's better than a gold star on the chalkboard? Why, 5 stars, of course. Post your rating and review for your favorite shows anywhere you listen to your podcasts and make sure your faves get seen and know how much you love them. Have a real-life ghost story you'd like to share with the class? Email your story to themediamatters@gmail.com or send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages, and I will personally reply to make arrangements for you to tell your story right here on the show. Are you more of a talker, not so much a writer? That's cool too. Call us and tell us all about it at 850-203-0118. This season, I'm super grateful for all of you and the time we spend together LOLing on the Insta Twitter sphere. If you love the lols as much as I do, come hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where we can chill and chat and emoji all the live long day. And while you're scrolling around, make sure you post a screenshot of you listening to any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app, tag me in your Insta Twitter Snapbook post, and I will shout you out like a boss. And don't forget to turn on your notifications and be the first to see new posts from me and the show. Want more ways to rid yourself of the FOMO? Email me at themediamatters@gmail.com, reach out on the show site at themediamatters.com, call us at 850-203-0118, or take me shopping with you as you pick out your smudge kit, incense, books, new Christmas kicks, or whatever your heart desires on the show's Amazon store at amazon.com/shop/mediamatters. Want exclusive goodies like bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes chats, pinky promises, and more? Join our super kick-ass, super exclusive family on Patreon and get immediate access to so much fun. Check out the show at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today and forever. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's Can't Resist Crystal, which is the one and only White Dolomite. From Cassandra Eason's The Complete Crystal Handbook, the White Dolomite Crystal is great for the heart chakra. Physically, it is said to be beneficial for bones, teeth, skin, and muscles, amongst so many things. Emotionally, it's a great stone for preventing your energy from being drained away on useless causes or emotionally demanding people. For more on white dolomite, make sure you check out Cassandra Eason's book, The Complete Crystal Handbook, which I'll make sure I link in the show notes for you. You can also find information on white dolomite using any resource that resonates with you. It is a magical little crystal and one worth looking into, so make sure you don't sleep on this one. It's time to put your mask on first and help the ones you love second. Trust me, it will all make sense real soon. Like, grab your snack, bundle up in your favorite chair, and keep the tissues close by. You can thank me later. All right, guys. So as promised, I have a mega, mega special guest with me tonight. It is my fantastic friend, Sophie. And for you guys that don't know who Sophie is the person that I always refer to as my teacher. So it is so uber special. I feel so honored right now and like a mix of incredible emotions that I can't even begin to express by having you here. You're so special to me and I know to many, many people, and you've changed so many lives, especially mine, because mine's the only one that matters right now.
So. I'm really blushing really bad right now.
Sophie is as amazing as she sounds, you guys, and I hope all of you have a Sophie in your world, and if you don't, you cannot have mine. You can look at her, but you can't have her. So I'm going to preface this episode by saying it will likely be emotional. We're recording in a very different spot. Sophie and I are hanging out in her shop and her mom's shop right now. And there is a very good reason for that, as you will find out. And we are going to cover a variety of things tonight. Most importantly, protection in a crisis and all of the things that you are allowed to do for your loved ones, because they are your freaking loved ones and you have the power to do that. So there is a lot of ground to cover. I'm going to tell you guys up front, if you have any questions, make sure that you reach out on one of the show's social media pages, email me, whatever the case. And Sophie and I will get back to you with information because there's just a lot. There's so much. And I'm here with like the number one master of it all. So
No. Not a master ever.
You're a master to me.
I'm always learning.
We are all always learning. So Sophie, I don't even know where I want to start. There's so much I want to say. There's so much, like, how did you get started in all of this? Like, let's start there.
So it's actually kind of a, this came from my mom, you know, her stories about how our culture, our Vietnamese culture interacts with each other. So it's very spiritual, not necessarily in any particular religion, but more spiritual because we're very ancestor based. So our ancestors are living regardless if they have a physical body or not. And being able to understand that and access them and understanding how to talk to them. You okay? Yes, we're full. There's a lot of people coming in.
No.
Did everything just come down?
What is that?
Sounds like a radio. That's country music.
What in the hell?
Mom listens to country music.
Get the...
Hey, Mom, we're trying to have an interview here. Can you turn it down? Turn it down some more? Can you turn it off? It's almost off.
I don't even know what the
did she okay. turn it off? Did she turn it off finally?
Yeah, it's off. Okay, so
I asked her to turn it off.
So you guys, so I would normally edit something like that out, and I'm not going to, because here's what went down, you guys. Sophie is talking. I have headphones on, so I can, you know, whatever. I have no words right now. Like, Sophie is talking, and in the headphones, I slowly start to hear music, and I am looking around going, what in the F is that? Because everything is off in here. We have lights on.
Is she playing music
again? It's on again.
Oh.
So in my headphones, you guys, I hear music, and Sophie's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I let her use the headphones so she can hear. It's Carrie Underwood right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's weird. Mom's radio station in her car was set to country music. So I don't know any country music stars or songs or
Carrie,
anything
like I know.
That.
Like, I don't really either, but Carrie, I know. And I've heard this song before, but it's like, and you guys, it is so low. Like, if you're not paying attention, you will not even.
I guess did she turn it back up?
Yeah, it's.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just.
I guess she's having a party right
girl,
now.
It threw me. No, it just threw me. And I'm like, she's got the radio up. Like, she's jamming. Get it, girl. So now you guys know what's going on. So we're going to get into that. But I'm so sorry for interrupting you, Sophie.
That's okay. Where was I? Oh, so traditionally, you know, so I grew up with those stories. But because when we came to the States, it's not something that was widely accepted. So a lot of what Mom told me is that we know what we are. We know what our abilities are. But we're in a foreign country with people that don't understand our ways. So just keep it shut. Keep it quiet. Mm-hmm. Don't ever say anything. So that's how our life was. And then over the problem with that, with people like us, when we have to shut down and not say anything, it actually begins to affect us psychologically, physically, our intelligence, everything, how we think. It begins to really affect us. And sometimes that shows up as behavior problems. It shows up as a health problem of some sort. And I was sick all the time. I was really sick all the time. And then one day I decided, you know, I had never heard of energy healing or anything that, you know, the American terms call it. And I was exposed to it by one of my teachers. And I said, well, I'll give it a shot. Sure. I'll lay down on a session. And I was like, after a session, I was like, well, this is pretty cool. You know, and at the time it was called Reiki is what he did. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. And after that session with him, though, it changed something in me. And it may have been my age, you know, I'm older now and I had reached an age of like, I don't give two dots of what someone else thinks. Mm-hmm. What comes out of my mouth comes out of my mouth, and if you don't like it, you can walk away. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's why we vibe so well.
Yeah.
Like, I love your energy, and it's so, there's nothing, beat around the bush about it or fake or like, I love it. Like, it's very straightforward and.
I can't, my mouth opens, things comes out.
There's no filter.
But one of the, I've traveled around for different teachers, and one of the teachers, in order to get my spirit whisperer certification, required me to do, I think at the time, like 20 readings for people. And I'm like, readings is not something I really want to do for people. I feel like there's a level of interference that happens with that. My purpose is to help you figure out how to help yourself. Mm-hmm. That's more important to me, because if I'm not around, then what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Right. So I had to do these readings, and I had to set up somewhere to do these readings. So my mom owns this little beautiful gift shop, and there was a spare room in the back with which I now do sessions in. But I asked her, I said, hey, mom, I want to get this certification in a spirit whisperer, which means I need to do some psychic readings for some people. Can I use the back room? And my mom looked at me like, you want to do what? And I said, you know, psychic readings, you know, sit down, you know, when they're, you know, unseen people show up, I tell them what's going on, what's up. She goes, she just looked at me straight faced and a little bit in horror. And she said, you want to do this in public? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, yeah. I said, if you don't want me to do it here, you know, there's another metaphysical shop I can go to. She goes, you know where we live, right? And she goes, well, I said, mom, if you're not comfortable, I can. And she goes, no. And I was going, I'm going to charge for it. I'm going to charge $18 a person. You get 50% of that since I'm going to use your room. She goes, oh, well, okay.
Sold.
That's sold. Okay. And she's like, do you think anybody's going to show up? I'm like, I don't know. You know, and so we did it on a Saturday, and I had a friend come assist me. Mm-hmm. And I just put it on our Facebook. I think I put it on our Facebook page. We really didn't advertise, but we opened the door a little bit early. She usually only opens at 10, but we opened the door at 8, and there was already a woman there. And she walks in and she said, you know, I felt like I needed to be here today. And she saw the poster for, I was doing readings for 18 bucks, you know, 18 bucks for like 20 minutes. And she's like, oh, yeah, I want a reading. And I kid you not, from 8 in the morning until almost 8 o'clock at night, I was booked solid. People were just coming in, and it was reading after reading after reading, and I will never, ever, 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 ever do that again. I was so stoned out of my mind from being out of my body. It was horrible. But I got my certification.
Silver lining. Wow.
So I don't do that anymore. It was a practice for the certification, and it was a good lesson in what my boundaries should have been. Mm-hmm. Taking a break, a longer break between people. So yeah, it took maybe a 10-minute break between people, but working that particular muscle and traveling to the second physical or some of the other realms, that mm-hmm. takes a lot of oomph out of your own body.
Oh yeah.
And it took me 3 days to recover.
Oh my God.
From that. So yeah, I won't ever do that again. Ever.
Jeez, that's a lot.
But some people are built for that.
Yeah.
Some people are meant to do that. You know, is some people's, they have the brain to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Other people have a brain to be, to do electrical work in a house. Some people are great master landscapers. So it just depends on what, you know, what mm-hmm. you are physically built to do. And that's not something I want to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I enjoy it. I on accident, I want to say, I don't know if it was a real accident, mm-hmm. started, like, figured out that mm-hmm. I could do it and communicate. And it was so, while it's fulfilling, it's also really scary because there's such a responsibility that comes with it, with all of this work. Mm-hmm. But with that in particular, because you know what people are after, and they want to communicate with very specific people. And those people are not always the ones that come through. And I don't know. There's so much. And I know I just overthink it. And I'm like, oh, I really want? All I can do is tell you what I'm seeing or being told mm-hmm. or whatever. And that's it. Like, it's just the conduit. But
and sometimes there's an expectation yes. that when they contact a person, there's a misconception that just because the person has died, that their personality has changed. That is not true at all.
Right.
They still, if they didn't like you in this life in a physical form, they're still not going to like you. They're right. not going to apologize. If you're looking for apology, please don't expect that. You know,
I see that resonates with me so much. And that's how I feel, is that who you were here is who you're likely going to be on the other side. I know there is growth. There are things that you go through, more learning, so to speak. I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it, but I have believed that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like that really, I think we talked about that one time in class or in a share, and that really resonated with me. And I'm like, mm-hmm. that makes perfect sense. Like, you don't just cross over and you're like, I got wings. Like, it yeah. just doesn't yeah. work that way.
No, it doesn't. One lady in particular on that day that I did all those readings, she had come in specifically wanting to talk to her mother-in-law, who hated her, absolutely hated her. And she wanted answers from her. And so I didn't know, you know, she sits down in front of me and I say, well, who would you like to speak to? She told me the person's name and I call the person down. And when this person comes into the room with us, I wanted the person out of the room because she was hateful. The lady across from me was also from Asian descent. And this lady she hated all Asians. So she's glaring at, you know, this spirit is glaring at me. She's glaring at her daughter-in-law, and her daughter-in-law said, well, can you ask her, you know, why was she so mean to me? And as the reader, you have to tell the truth. You try to tell the truth the best way you possibly can. And the lady, the spirit in front of me, it wasn't so much what she said, but it was the amount of hatred that emitted from her spirit that it was tremendous. And, you know, I had to tell the client in front of me, I was like, you know, she has not changed. The hatred is still there. She is not interested in being here. I did call to her and she did show up, but she is someone that we really should leave, have out of this room right now. If you have questions regarding her, if you think she's going to forgive you, or if you want to forgive her, you can say that, but she's not going to forgive you. She's not, she doesn't love you. And, you know, I'm sorry, you know, and it upset her, but she knew I was telling her the truth at the same time. And she didn't get the closure that she was hoping to get mm-hmm. in a manner of settling things between her and her mother-in-law. But she did get some closure regarding that how her mother-in-law felt really had nothing to do with her. It's just who that person was. And she was still that way in spirit form. And she was going to have to deal with her consequences, that her own karma that she created in the spirit form in another manner. It's not her responsibility or anyone else's responsibility. It's her mother-in-law's responsibility.
Can I just say right now that your aura is like bright gold?
Oh, thanks.
I don't know
what until I start crying about the other stuff.
I don't know what's happening today.
Then it's just gonna be water.
I know. No, it's coming. It's coming. Well, I it's been. I don't even know what I want to say. I'm so distracted right now. There's so much noise in these headphones.
I'm sorry.
There's so like there's little taps and little like.
Well, I have more than one ancestor that's come in. They're all piling kind of.
Yeah,
in.
I feel a lot of yeah. people in here. And my foot getting bumped and my, I'm yeah. like, back up. You sorry. Have foot space.
And they're little people too.
Are they? Cause
they're little. Mm-hmm. We're short. Yeah.
As are my people. Okay. Okay. I got distracted. I don't see auras all the time mm-hmm. and I don't like, I just don't think about it, but every now and then someone lets theirs fly and
yeah.
yours is like bright gold. I've never seen one like that before.
Well, hopefully I'm recharging because it's been a rough few weeks.
So let's get into, there's so much that we can cover, so much we will cover, but let's talk about what we really are here to talk about. And that is, when there is a crisis, whether it's you, a loved one, whatever it may be, how you protect yourself, how you protect your loved ones, what you are cosmically allowed and not allowed to do, which I know is so much ground to cover. And we will just cover, we'll cover as much as you want to cover. So let's start with what kicked all of this off and what motivated, the music is back. Okay. What motivated this, this meeting of the minds, if you will, that, that prompted all of this content to come forth in such a way that you really wanted to put it out there and say, it's important for everybody to know this.
So I feel like sometimes when someone goes into crisis, that their first response is, how do I help this person? You know, and how do you help someone while protecting yourself? And a lot of times for people that aren't in the energy world, they'll, you know, obviously if someone's bleeding, then you put, you know, pressure on a wound or things of that nature. But the thing that you, that a lot of people don't unconsciously remember is that while you're putting pressure on a wound, you're looking around for help. You're looking around for making sure there's no other threats coming around, right? Mm-hmm. So from an energetic level, when you're in a crisis, sometimes you can't get to the person, but the first thing you want to think about is protecting yourself and protecting that person. And you can do that. You can, no matter what your methodology is, you can tap into a white light source, tap into the universe. It's a lot of times it's as simple as imagining this white ball of light dropping into the middle of the room that you're in and just exploding and blowing everything out of the way, and then setting up four white walls around you with a ceiling and a floor and just encapsulating you two, pushing everything else out energetically and keeping anything else energetically from coming in. So it's just you and that person. You can concentrate on that person. And then you can also call on, if you believe in your guardians, if you believe in your demons, you bring them in to protect you. That's the first thing you can do. Because a lot of times when you're in a physical, a medical emergency, you don't necessarily want to touch the physical body because you don't know what's wrong. And sometimes you can do the wrong thing mm-hmm. and cause more of a problem. In my particular case, my mom was found unresponsive. I'm the one that found her unresponsive. She had been there that way for 3 days, did not know. You know, she got in the ambulance. I met her at the ER. It was hours before I could see her. And when I got in the ER, I had never seen the strongest woman who has been completely impenetrable my entire life, so frail, and dying in her bed is what I saw at the time. So, and I'm a mess.
And that will jack your world up.
Oh yeah. And I'm a mess. I'm you know, I was like, what do I touch? You know, and wait, I can't, you know, and a voice behind my head said, don't touch anything. You don't know what's wrong. Don't touch anything. So, you know, all I did was hold her hand, and I got calm enough to, we're in a hospital. So hospital has a lot of wandering things around that are unseen. And the first thing I did was I cleansed and sanitized that room like I have never done before. And it, for me, all I have to do is imagine this brilliant white light, and I drop it like a bomb in that room. And I put it around her, I put it around me, and that's it. That's all I could do. I didn't look for her spirit. I didn't do any points on her body because I didn't know what was wrong. And I just held her hand and I talked to her and I said, Mom, I'm here. We're all here. It's okay. You know, she's looking. She can still open her eyes and talk to us. She's trying to mouth words. I said, don't. It's okay. We got this, you know. And that's all I did. That's all I did on that Friday. That's all I did on a Saturday. And that's all I did on Sunday. Because I didn't know what was wrong. So if anything, when you're in a crisis, protection should be your first response.
And is it like when you're on an airplane and the mask drops, put yours on and then...
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because if you just worry about protecting someone else, that doesn't stop someone from creeping on you.
Right. And they will.
Yeah. They absolutely will, because you're actually, I'll be perfectly honest, I am expending my energy too to protect her, because she is now under my, she's weak. She's my family. I have every right to protect her. And that's with anybody, your child, your parent, your significant other, anyone that you are closely and intimately, you know, love, you have a right to protect. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, you just tap into the universe and you can get the universe's energy, this, that, and the other. Well, when you're in a crisis, sometimes your crown shuts up, mm-hmm. but you have power within yourself to do it. So use that power. And then when you can calm down a little bit, you can tap into the universe's power to keep feeding you so that you can keep that protection going.
Right. But in the meantime, it's a triage situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's
absolutely.
All hands on deck energetically. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So you set up this protection, this barrier. You are now, you've done the atomic bomb in the room. Mm-hmm. You've protected yourself and your mom. You're holding her hand and communicating with her. And what are the next steps that... I swear. I just heard like a deep breath. And I feel so much energy in here. Yeah. So much energy. So what are the next steps that you take? You don't know what's going on with your mom. So you are trying to keep a level head and trying to make sure that she's okay. Mm-hmm. Trying to get information from the staff that mm-hmm. hopefully knows what the heck is going on mm-hmm. and what comes next.
So what comes next is you let the doctors do their work. You stay out of the way. Until they established, I mean, they did figure out rather obviously and quickly that mom was bleeding in the brain and there was a lot of pressure on her brain. But the options weren't quite clear on what they could do yet. So that means I'm not cleared to work on her either because I don't know what the medical options are. And we have to remember that energy healing is more than just an etheric realm. It is the physical body too. And we have to remember to respect our current medical technology, because that tells us a lot about the body and it tells us where and when we shouldn't touch. If it, you know, long story short, her brain was bleeding and it had hemorrhaged, the blood had hemorrhaged on the outside of her brain and had compressed her brain to almost 50% from the CAT scan. And me, not being a neurologist, I'm like, I don't even know what to do here. You know, all I knew is that I could not touch her head. Do not do anything on her head. There's an amazing amount of pain and on all sides of her head. So don't touch her head there. Just hold her hand, protect her, and then listen to what the doctors have to say, what our options are. And that's basically, that's all I did. Just protection for 3 days to figure it out. In the meantime, yes, I'm in a panic. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my mom. And I called a very trusted friend of mine who knows both my mom and I. And I asked her for help. I said, I can't think straight. I don't know what to do. The doctors are giving me an option. We either let her go into hospice care and hope she passes at some point. But I had scanned her body. She's in a tremendous amount of pain. This would not be easy. Or we do surgery. And with the surgery, honor her wishes of a DNR. And I couldn't get my head straight enough to ask her in the spirit realm, Mom, what can I do? What do you want me to do? And so my friend worked on me. And
by that you mean she did a remote session
on me.
Remote Reiki.
Remote session on me. Actually, it was remote Theta.
Remote Theta.
Yeah, remote Theta, because we both do Theta. So she did remote Theta on me and she did remote Theta on my mom. I was actually able to sleep for a few hours on Saturday. And when I woke up with clarity to go ahead and agree to the surgery, because, and I don't know if my mom gave me this answer or if someone else on the other side gave me this answer, but the surgery gave my mom 3 options. She could either decide to fully recover, stay in her body. She could decide to peacefully pass, or we were back to square one. It's better than the 2 choices, surgery or just let her suffer and die with a hematoma. So we went ahead with the surgery, and after the surgery, during the surgery, I'm still protecting her. I'm now in the room, not physically in the room. I'm remoting into the room and ensuring that that room is completely protected from any outside invasion the entire time. And there's always doubt. I doubt myself all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and the confirmation was when the surgeon called me and told me that was the most textbook perfect brain surgery he had ever done. And that surgery normally takes 6 hours, and it took him a little over 4 hours to do. And mom is doing beautifully. And he had high hopes for her recovery, just super high hopes. Her vitals were perfect. I couldn't see her after that because he wanted everything to be quiet after the surgery. So that really made me feel good. You know, maybe I contributed to that, maybe I didn't, but I know that she was safe. Mm-hmm. You know, and the energy I put in the room was not only just to protect her, but also to allow the people that were working on her to do their very best, you know, by removing any energies that might have interfered with them.
Which is a great point, because there are so many layers to this work. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I don't know in... Sorry, there's so much noise in here. I don't know if in that state I would have thought to say, I need to protect the doctors as well, the staff. I need to clear the space for them, make the road mm-hmm. very unobstructed. And you know, I had one of my family members mm-hmm. was in a crisis a few years back, and you helped me tremendously because I was kind of in the same thing where I was so frazzled that I couldn't think clearly. And she was coming out to hang out with us in the waiting room. And I was like, what the fuck? Like,
I was like, you need to be in the yeah. other room taking care of your body.
Right. I'm like, I know where your body is. So what do you, and I freaked because I'm like, is she, mm-hmm. is that it? Like, she's leaving. And so a lot comes up, and I'm so glad that you said that. There are so many layers, and you're right. It has to start with you. You have to triage there first and move on to the next obvious, which is your loved one, mm-hmm. Whoever it is. And then the staff that would be helping them, and you know, to give them the clarity and the guidance and to remember that they're dealing with humans and it's mm-hmm. not just a robotic, you know, because we've been there too. And that's hard. It's yeah. really hard when they just, you know, everything becomes textbook and, you know, I'm going to run and tell this family, give them the whatever news and on my way to the cafeteria to grab some lunch.
Yeah, and, absolutely. You know, but it's their everyday job. Right. So in a way they get really desensitized to right. that. So it's. When you bring that love, and basically what it is unconditional love. You're feeling that, you're clearing the space, you're sanitizing that space of dark energies or whatever, anything that's kind of an invader, you know, right. dark, like whatever. After all, it's a hospital. People die there. People sometimes, after they die, linger. Those right. energies linger, you know, and these are places that don't usually have windows or a method of escape. So they just kind of wander around. So when you sanitize the room, that's one. But the second part is dropping unconditional love into that room. And when you have a group of people working on a person and you fill that room with unconditional love, all you're going to get is work from unconditional love, because that's all they're feeling. So that's what they're putting out as they work. And that's all you can do versus, you know, it's like, you better get that right. Did you do that right? No, you don't want to do that. You just want to put love in there and trust, love and trust that they know what they're doing, and whatever the outcome is for the highest and greatest need right. of all of them.
I like that. I like that. Don't try to bend things mm-hmm. to make you happy or to, you know, have it be the outcome that you want, which we all want very mm-hmm. specific things, but you're right. It needs to be what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's very hard to stay neutral.
It is.
Especially when it's something so close to your heart.
Yeah, it really is. So you said you contacted your friend who knows you and your mom, mm-hmm. and she was able to step in and give you the help that you needed, which we all need that sometimes.
Yes.
And can you explain briefly the difference between a remote Reiki session and Theta? Because we've talked about Reiki on the show mm-hmm. before, but Theta we've never talked about.
It's actually no different. It's just another term. I personally hate the classification that says Reiki mm-hmm. or Theta or Pranic or Rainbow something, whatever.
Because there's so many names.
Yeah, there's so many names, but essentially it's, you're dealing with the same kind of energy. It's energy work. You're working with the unseen realms. You're working with the unseen, which is, I refer to them as people without bodies or energies without bodies. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily people all the time. For the realms, you know, you have the fairy realm, which is very, very real, depending on what region of country you're in. You're you have the second physical realm. You have all these different realms, the angelic realms. If angel is the right American word, we call it something else. The guardian realms. You have the demonic realms, and demon realms aren't, everybody thinks, oh my God, demon. Well, demons have a purpose too. They're there for a reason. And that demons are people that I, or the ones, not people, but they are the energies that I did call on to help me with protection, because I can have the nice, fluffy, shiny energy ball there all, hey, everything's happy. But if I need someone to kick some booty, I want a demon to handle that. And sometimes you need it, mm-hmm. you know. So
I feel like my eyes are very wide right now.
And there's a lot of, you know, connotation, and it's in a lot of religions, you know, you have your devil, and you have this, that, and the other. Well, I'll be perfectly honest. The only devil that I believe in is the devil inside of us that makes us be something other than kind. That's in us. But as far as the devil being an outside entity, no. There's far worse. Mm-hmm. Far, far worse. And you have to know how to deal with those.
I'm so glad you said that. I've never, ever, ever heard, and I'll say, outside of working with you, I've never, ever heard of anyone referring to demons as having a positive purpose.
Yeah.
And the first time we talked about it, I know I must have almost fallen out of my chair. So I'm like, Sophie, that's crazy talk. But you're right. There's a purpose for everything. Mm-hmm. There absolutely is. I still stand behind my, no purpose for a Ouija board. None.
Well, no, that I agree with. There is no purpose for a Ouija board, especially just, under your bed. Never.
Yes. They're just there to taunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I really like the thought of that and how you said that, because I know for a fact I would never have thought to call in the big guns of a demon to say, yeah, they're like an enormous universal bouncer. You know what I mean? Like
they're slayers.
Right.
They are slayers.
For them to be the ones to come in and do that, you know, mm-hmm. like would I call my guide to do that? No, that's not their job.
No, your guide's going to be like, oh, you know, maybe you ought to take this path or do this.
She kind of doesn't want you in here. You know, so.
You know, could you just go outside, where a demon's like, I'm just going to take your head off and we're done.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I'm.
And that's my that's how serious I was, you know, when mom needed protection later on for just her body after she had, her essence had left her body. I wasn't calling on, you know, the light beings anymore so much. I was like, okay, her body, there's a vacancy here. I don't want any walk-ins coming up in here and messing up with the medical equipment trying to claim that she's still alive, because mm-hmm. it does happen.
Right.
There's a vacancy, it's going to stay vacant. So I'm going to call on the demons now. Anything crosses, get rid of it. And I don't care how you do it. Just, I want it gone.
So when working with demons, because they are so, they have a very bad reputation for being, for misguiding you, for being liars, for being incredibly selfish. And
that's
all
not
these,
a demon. That's an earthbound.
No, just the reputation of like, oh, a demon is, you know, they're mm-hmm. out for the soul, and they're, so when working with a demon, how did you learn to trust that they were going to comply with what you were asking? You know what I mean? So in this case where you said, please guard her, I need her protected. Mm-hmm. How did you know to trust that they weren't going to try to invade her body?
So in the demon type realm, their particular specialty is, how do I say this? Because I can picture it. They're more to the point of, they're slayers, and they eliminate things. You can kind of look at the iconology of Archangel Michael, mm-hmm. right? He's this great angel, sweet and everything, but he carries a blazing sword, right. and he will chop the heads off of things. This is very similar to what a demon type is. In our culture, when I went back to Vietnam, you see the demons painted on the doors to protect the grounds and the houses. Those are demons. But when you walk inside, you see, you know, Kuan Yin, the compassionate goddess. You see Shakyamuni, you know, the god of wisdom and compassion and everything. That's after you walk inside. But on the outside, those are demons that are there protecting the grounds. You see the fierce lion dogs. You see the beast that look in humanoid form, but they've got fangs and they're glaring at you. That is what their purpose is. And we all have our light beings that support us, but we also have our demons that support us. And I think people forget that you have that option because they're with us.
I don't think people know that you have that. Honestly, like,
yeah, you have that option.
Yeah. I really do believe that there, and myself included, because the working with the demons is really new for me too.
But it's something I teach in a level 4.
Oh yeah. No, I know it's coming. I can't wait. Because, you know, anything you teach, if you're mm-hmm. like, oh, we're going to learn quinoa today, I'm in. Like, I'm all in. But there is such a huge misconception. And mm-hmm. it comes from so many things. Your upbringing, what you've been told, like all of these things mm-hmm. and the movies and books and whatever it is. And they are always out for such a negative purpose. And so it is really cool to hear that they have a different purpose and it is not negative. It is to protect you and to mm-hmm. work with you and for you.
And if you look at Eastern culture, I think a lot of times when you have, Western culture collide with Eastern culture, there's a huge misconception, because if you have a Westerner that comes into the grounds of an Asian, a traditional Asian house, and the first thing they see on the door is a guy that looks like he wants to eat your face, they're like, this, there's something. Yeah, this is not very welcoming. Right. This is not very good. This has got to be bad, you know. Whereas in Western culture, the first thing you see is you know, maybe Mother Mary blessing you and this and the other. Well, that's not our way. You know, our way is, here's the demon in front of you. Yeah, he's going to look you up and down and judge mm-hmm. you a little bit. And if you're too scared to walk through that door, then maybe you shouldn't be there.
Right.
Right. Whereas just like, hey, what's up, dude? Mm-hmm. And you walk on through, no big deal. You're their people.
Right.
So that's pretty much how it is. You know, it's kind of like having a guard dog. Right. Maybe your guard dog lets a person through, and maybe they don't. It's just done in a different form.
Interesting. That is a whole nother like 7 episodes right there. Because... Friends, that's our episode with Sophie the Great, part 1. That's right, you guys. That is only part 1. We hope you enjoyed this enlightening content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We really, really love you guys so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, because that is where I show you guys even more love. And make sure you turn on those notifications and be sure to tag me in your Media Matters posts for a very special shout out. Want to shop with me? Find my store at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters and do what I do, shop. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com, via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. Want the VIP treatment all the live long day? Join our kick-ass Patreon family and be part of the fun. Find us at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and make it easier for others to find your faves. With that, you guys, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.